Well, good morning, children. Let's begin with a few hymns. Somebody help me out with a number. David, which one do you want? 28. 28? Okay, number 28. Well, maybe before we sing a couple more, we're going to pray. And we've all sung together. Some of you didn't sing, I happened to notice when I was looking around, and that's too bad. But it says here at the end of the refrain, it says, Jesus died for me. And our purpose here this morning is that each one of you children will be able to say this. Now, David gave out this hymn, and I trust that David can say that, and that's why he gave out the hymn. But can everybody say that? If there's somebody here this morning, perhaps you're just little, can you say that Jesus died for me? And so by the end of the meeting this morning, I hope every one of us can really say that, that Jesus died for me. Now, before we pray, I want to read a verse. A verse from God's Word in Galatians chapter 2. Actually, maybe I'll get one of these girls here to read it for us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Would that be okay if one of you girls read it? Who wants to volunteer of you three? How about Jolene? Okay, just read from, let's see, where it says the Son of God at the end. Galatians 2, down here. So, the Son of God, so talk loud, okay?
The Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me.
That's good. Thank you. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I was thinking about this verse yesterday. I was thinking about it last night when I was laying in bed. Yesterday we talked about a very special man. And that man is God's Son. And that man's name is the Lord Jesus. And there was an older man up here, and he spoke to us in the afternoon. And he told us about how they took a crown of thorns, and they put it on the head of the Lord Jesus. And then he told us how they took a reed, and they hit him on the head. And they drove those thorns into his head. That man was the Son of God. And we just read that verse. Jolene read it for us. The Son of God who loved me. Can you say that? The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I was thinking about that last night. I was thinking about how the Lord Jesus wore that crown of thorns for Paul. He loved me. That's why he did it. And he gave himself for me. Now, children, can you say that? That the Lord Jesus wore that crown of thorns for me? That he put his arms out? That he hung there for me? Now, perhaps you're a little bit older. Perhaps that you're a teenager. But you used to sit here on the front. You know, there's some advantages to sitting on the front. Everybody who sits on the front today can see me at the end for a little prize, okay? But you know, I used to sit at the front too. But there was a time in my life when I had to come to the Lord Jesus and realize that he suffered for me and gave himself. So let's ask his blessing, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank thee this morning that thou dost love each one of us. But Lord Jesus, perhaps there's some people here this morning, maybe only one, maybe there's more, who have never come to thee for forgiveness, have never accepted thee, Lord Jesus, as their own Savior. And we just pray that they might get saved today, right now, that they would not wait any longer, so that they could say truthfully, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we just ask for help this morning. Lord Jesus, please help me to be able to speak very well of thee, to give thee the glory that is due to thy name, and our God, that we may magnify thy beloved Son, who came all the way from that happy home of heaven to this world of sorrow to give himself. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for making a way for us to get to that happy home too. And yet we know that it cost thee thy life. Thou didst suffer. We've talked about the crown of thorns, beaten into thy head, the very Son of God, and how we treated thee so shamefully, blessed Lord. And so we just pray now for thy help. Help each one of us not only to hear the words, but to listen to thy word as it's read. And we pray that we may benefit from being here this morning, thanking thee, Lord Jesus, for thy love. In thy name, amen. We need another volunteer to read another verse. Aaron, you're going to volunteer for us, okay? All right. How about we use my Bible so you can find it? You tell us where it is, and I'll point to the verse. So it's Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20.
The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved.
Thank you. Jeremiah chapter 8 and the 20th verse. So if we can turn there just for a minute. That's not what we're going to talk about most of the time this morning. But we want to talk about this verse just for a minute. And I want to tell you why first. You know, when the children were younger, they still like to come here every year for the conference. It's a nice conference. They like to be with their friends. But there's one thing special about this conference, and that is in Canada, where we're from, school always starts right around Labor Day, which means that the kids have already been in school for a few days. So this is like one extra summer thing. But you know, it's right at the end of the summer. And this verse that we read was, the harvest is past and the summer is ended. The summer is ended, isn't it? It's kind of cold. It was kind of nice yesterday until the rain came. It was nice and warm. But you know, we all know that living in this part of the country, it starts to get cold. And we have harvest too. We all look forward to harvest, don't we? Tomatoes, corn on the cob, all the things that we really like. Harvest. But then the rest of the verse says something else. We are not saved. Now, is there somebody here today that's not saved? The summer's ended. We know that. It's getting colder. The harvest is past. We're starting to eat all the good things that come in the harvest. But what about, are we saved? We're going to talk about that a little bit, whether we're saved or not. And if we're not, why not? You know, the Lord Jesus has told us that he's coming again. And wouldn't it be sad if somebody got left behind because they weren't ready, they weren't saved yet? And sometimes things happen in our lives that we aren't expecting. You know, a couple of months ago, one night the children came home from, my older teenagers came home from a little time with the other young people in our area. And we were talking and having a nice time, and they were telling me all the things they did. And all of a sudden we heard, and then it was quiet for a minute, and then bang! And Howard, my son, said, "Dad, get your cell phone." And I got my cell phone. We ran out the door. We went down the end of our driveway, and there was this huge cloud of dust. It looked like a storm, a dust storm. And it was all black. And then we saw a few lights from the back of a car. It was upside down, all smashed, and it was right through the side of the little meeting room that's beside our house, where the meeting is in Rideau Ferry. And we thought, oh no, I wonder if anybody's hurt. So guess what I did? I went to the car, I looked inside, and my boys got down and looked inside, and we could see somebody hanging upside down in the car. That boy was not expecting to leave this world, but he did instantly, 17 years old. He thought he had lots of time. Maybe that's what you think, but you don't know. And he didn't know either. And you know, that was so sad. It was so sad to see his dad and his mom come and look at their boy. That was hard for me. Very hard for me. It was hard to see one other thing, too. When I got there, I opened my phone and I called 911. And I said to the operator, I said, "There's been an accident on the old Kingston Road in Rideau Ferry. You need to send at least one ambulance. We don't know how many people were in the car, but we're going to try to find if there's anybody other than one. We know there's at least one." So the ambulances came. But you know what? The ambulances left too. They were only there for maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10. I don't know how much time went by. And then they left. Why did they leave? This boy.
They had the boy in there.
They didn't have the boy in there. The boy was in the car. Why did they leave? This boy.
I don't know.
You don't know? You know why this girl down here, Gloriana? That's right. The people in the ambulance, they left because they couldn't help him. He was already gone. Isn't that really sad? And then, about an hour later, another car came. And this time, it was a different kind of vehicle. It was long, but it was low. And they came with a cart. It was the undertaker's car. It was sad, oh so sad. Children, these things happen. Where is he? I don't know. I trust that he's with the Lord Jesus. But we can't fool around with our souls. We need to get saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. And it says in this verse, we are not saved. Ask yourself, boys and girls, what about me? Now I want to turn to the book of Luke for a minute. Luke chapter 15. Now last night, our brother Deer gave us the gospel from the book of Luke primarily. He spoke about a whole bunch of different chapters and different stories. And I love the book of Luke. I'll tell you another little story. Our doctor at home is a Christian. I love going to the doctor. Sometimes. But you know, when I go to the doctor, I always talk to Dr. Shu a little bit about the Lord. Not always, but if he's not busy, then we usually share just a little bit. Because my doctor is a Christian. You know, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? I love to be a Christian. It's a privilege, you know. It tells us that it's a privilege to be a Christian in John chapter 1. To be the Son of God is a privilege. Well, my doctor is another name for doctor is a physician. Well, there's another physician in the Bible, another doctor, and his name is Luke. And it tells us that he was a beloved physician. Anyway, Luke wrote the gospel according to Luke. And so let's read in Luke chapter 15, and we'll read from verse 8. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Well, we had last night the next part of this chapter where we have the story of the prodigal son who went off with everything that his father had given him, wasted it all, and then when he was in need, he thought, oh, I'm going to go back home to my father. And that gives us a little picture, this story of the heart of the father, doesn't it? And how it says he kissed him and so on. And then in the first part of the chapter, we know the story, most of us, and if not, you listen carefully. There's the story of the shepherd who went to find the sheep that was lost. And that's a little picture of the Lord Jesus. But here in the verses that we have read, there's a little picture to us of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a power in this room that is far greater than anybody's arms. You know, you can look around and see some of these young guys that are tough, strong. Look at Ben here. Ben's a big man. He's got strong arms. But there is a power in this room that you can't see that's way more powerful than Ben's arms. You may say as a little boy, boy, I'd like to have big arms. But you know, there's a power here that's a power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit was striving here last night. Many of you kids, children, were here. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to you through the gospel according to His Word. He's here today too. And the Holy Spirit is working. And if you're not saved, The Holy Spirit is tapping you and saying, hey, now's the time. You need to be saved. The Holy Spirit. Now it says, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Now, is there one person here today that's not saved? You don't have to answer that to me, but you have to answer God. And we're going to see that at the end of the time if we have time. Now, I just wanted to show you a couple of things that I have in my pocket. And I'm going to need some help here because these are old coins. And I need to know what they are, what country they're from, and the date. Who wants to volunteer to help me with the first one? Lydia, do you want to help? So where what it is, where what country it's from, and what year? You can turn it over and look a few times if you want.
From Canada, and it's 1 cent.
And what year?
1916.
1916, okay. Canada, 1 cent, 1916. And on the back is the picture of a king. And I can't read what it says because I don't know Latin, but it looks like kind of like George, right? Doesn't it? Kind of like George. Okay, you just hold on to that for me. Okay, who wants to do the next one? David? All right. This one's tougher. What country, David?
Canada.
Yeah.
What? It's from 1905.
It's hard to read. It's close. You got most of the numbers right. I think it's an 8. I think it's 1986, actually. But it's a penny as well. You hold on to that for a minute, David. Those were both lost coins. You know where I found them? At the house we live in. And we live in a very old house, as most of you know. And somebody long, long ago lost this penny from 1916 that Lydia has. 1916, that's a long time ago. How many years ago is that, Lydia? If it's 2006, so that's 6, and then 60, 100 minus 16 is 84, plus 6 is 90. 90 years. That's an old penny, isn't it? What about David's? 1986, that's 20 years old, right? So that's getting up there too. I found that one on the driveway. And it had been run over a bunch of times, so it's hard to read. That one was at the back of the house in the mud. And I saw this round thing, I thought, what is that? Picked it up, brought it inside, and I couldn't believe my eyes. 1916. Well, somebody probably was looking for that penny. 85 years ago maybe, or 90 years ago. You know, there's a lesson for us, isn't there? The person that lost that penny, do you think they're still alive? I'm sure they're not. You know, in our meeting at home, there's two men, Uncle Dave's dad, Mr. Mearns, and then there's Mr. Plymel, and they're over 90. Mr. Judd, he's a very old man, but he's not quite 90 yet. So that penny is older than Mr. Judd even. You know, that's very searching, isn't it? The person that lost that penny is dead. And we don't know exactly who lost the penny. It might have been the builder of the house or the addition that's on the back, or I don't know. But somebody lost the penny, and the person who lost the penny is not here anymore. And where are they? I don't know. I expect it was somebody that was a Christian, though, because the people that have always lived in our house were always Christians. Isn't that nice? Well, I was enjoying the thought about this verse. This verse about the Holy Spirit and the work that the Holy Spirit does in bringing us to God. You know, the Holy Spirit is an amazing power. You know, Nicodemus had to learn that the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can see the effect of the wind, what it does, but you can't see it. And you know, the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts in such a remarkable way. You know, there's people here today that are the way they are because of the work of God, the Holy Spirit. We owe so much to Him. But if you're not saved, the Holy Spirit is working with you this morning to bring you to the point where you want to come to the Lord Jesus too. Now let's turn back a page in our Bibles. We're going to read from Luke chapter 14. And we're going to read a story that talks about a supper and about some people that were invited to the supper and about what they said. So let's read Luke chapter 14 from partway through verse 16. It says, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room.' And the Lord said unto the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.'" Well, this is another story that the doctor Luke, or the physician Luke, tells us in this part of the Bible. God told him what to write, and he wrote down this part of the story too. And this story has been very good for me. I've enjoyed this story because, you know, this story tells us about a lot of different types of people. You know, these three different people, they were invited to come to this feast. You know, I was reading recently about another feast that's going to happen soon in heaven, when all the Christians become married to the Lord Jesus. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We read about that in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And so we can think about it this way, that there's a supper that God is going to give in the honor and praise of His Son. And each person who belongs to the Lord Jesus, that's me, and that's you if you've come to Him, we're going to be at that supper. You know, each one of us has been to good suppers. That is going to be the best supper we've ever had. It's going to be the happiest time we've ever enjoyed. And I look forward to that time when we're going to be in heaven. I want to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? You can know that you're going to go to heaven by getting saved today if you're not already saved. I want to go to heaven. I look forward to going to heaven. And I hope every one of us will come. So, there's an invitation that was given. And the Lord Jesus has given each one of us an invitation to heaven, but we need to take it. We need to accept the invitation if we're going to get there. And so here we have the story of the first man. And what does he say? He gives an excuse. And he says, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it." Now we may say, "Oh, that is so foolish. He bought this land, and he never even saw it yet." What a dumb thing to say. Yes. But let me ask you this. If one person here, boy or girl, or an older person even, hasn't come to the Lord Jesus yet, then what is your excuse? What are you going to say to God when He says, well, why didn't you come to my feast? What's your excuse going to be? This man said, well, I bought some land, but I haven't even seen it yet, but I did buy it. You know, we say, well, that's dumb. And every excuse you can give to God in that day is going to be dumb. Because you're going to have to go to hell if you don't come to the Lord Jesus. That's dumb. And you know, we can be hard on this man who says, we say, well, it was dumb for him to do this. But what is your excuse? I'm going to tell you a story in a little bit about somebody that had an excuse, that told me that excuse. And I couldn't believe it. Now we're going to go a little further. The second one, verse 19. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to prove them. Now that means that the one who bought the oxen was going to go and see if they were any good. That's like seeing an advertisement in the newspaper for a tractor if we're a farmer. And it says, John Deere, whatever model, so such and such a phone number and this amount of money, pick up the phone and say, yep, I want to buy it. And I'll pay that much money for it. You say, well, what did you do that for? You don't even know if it has tires on it. Right? That's what he did. He bought these oxen, and you say, well, that's a dumb excuse. Well, what's your excuse? Why haven't you come to the Lord Jesus yet? Now, maybe you say, Paul, I already did. I already came to the Lord Jesus. That's wonderful. Then you can say, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we're going to have a few verses for the people, too, that have said they already have come to the Lord Jesus. Because we need to know how we ought to live too. We'll have a few verses at the end for them. Okay, now, the next person. It says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You know, I remember one time, somebody was having the gospel when I was just a little boy. And they said this, they said, well, why didn't he come with his wife? He could have come with his wife. He didn't have to stay home. He could have brought her too, and she could have had a nice meal as well. I'm sure the Lord would have said, oh, sure, bring your wife along. Bring the whole family. The Lord wants everybody to come. He doesn't want some people to be left out. Now, you say, well, that was a dumb excuse. Another dumb excuse. But what is your excuse? Why haven't you come to the Lord Jesus yet? Maybe you're a young person here. What's your excuse? You know, there's a verse that we're going to read later on in the book of Romans, chapter 14. And it says this. Maybe I better read it to get it right. Romans chapter 14. And it says in verse 12, that so then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That is really searching, isn't it? Someday, each one of us will give account to God. It's not optional. Guaranteed, because God's word tells us that. We have to give account. And what are you going to say? What are you going to say? When God says, what did you do about accepting my son? What are you going to say? You know, it tells us what you're going to say in the Bible. You're not going to say anything. You won't have anything to say in that day. It'll be too late. You know, please don't give an excuse. Come to the Lord Jesus just as you are. Accept Him as your Savior and become a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a happy thing. It's wonderful to be able to go to sleep at night and never to worry about your sins. I love that. They're gone for me. Jesus paid for every one of them with his precious blood. Now, I told you I would tell you a story. Hold your place in Romans 14, okay? A while ago, I had the privilege to talk to a lady who had heard the gospel from me, from Uncle Norm back here, from other people too. And I said to her, I won't tell you her name, I said to her, you know, how come you're not a Christian? How come you haven't come to the Lord Jesus yet? She said, well, because I want to have fun. Because I want to have fun. Now that's an excuse, right? Her excuse is she hasn't come to the Lord Jesus because she wants to have fun. Is there somebody that would say the same thing today? I hope not. And I put my hand on my head like this. And I said, well, I said, how old are you? She looked at me and she said, you know, I don't know. I don't know how old I am. I said, you don't know how old you are? She said, no. So then she said, I was born in 1914. So Lydia, your penny was 1916, right? And we said it was 90 years old. So that lady was 92 years old. And she told me that she didn't come to the Lord Jesus because she wanted to have fun. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm telling you the truth. I couldn't believe it. This was her excuse at 92 because she wanted to have fun. She didn't come to the Lord yet. We say, well, that's ridiculous. What could she do at 92 hobbling along? But you know, we saw this man who hadn't seen the oxen yet, who hadn't seen the field yet, who just got married and couldn't bring his own wife. And they had an excuse, but what's yours? Do you have one? What are you going to tell the Lord? Nothing. It's going to be too late if you're not saved. Come to the Lord Jesus just like you are. He loves you. He wore that crown of thorns for you. He bled for you. He died for you. Won't you have him? Just take him today. Accept him as your Savior. And then you can say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, we have just a few minutes here, so let's read from Romans chapter 14. We've talked about the importance of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But you know, when we become Christians, it's a wonderful thing because the Lord gives us other Christians to be with. And you know, we affect those that we're with. Now you may say, well, I'm only 10. How can I affect other kids? I'm just a little kid. I'm not very old. Maybe you're only 13. What kind of effect do you have? Well, let's read and see what it says. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, I love these verses because they teach us that we do have an effect on one another. We can be an encouragement to each other, can't we? I said before about a boy that's 10. Well, a boy that's 10 probably has some other friends that are maybe 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 that you've been hanging around with at this conference? What kind of an encouragement have you been to them? This is why we're here, to encourage one another. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now there's another little thought here, and that is our privilege to be able to bow our knee to him and confess his name now. Now what does this mean for you children? Well, I'm going to encourage you, when you go back to school tomorrow, the Lord leaves us here and we're all safe in our trip home. You know, it's tough to give thanks for the food at lunchtime. You say, well, how do you know that, Mr. House? Well, I know that because I went to school too. And I used to work at places where there was lots of unsafe people. You know, it's kind of hard just to bow our head and thank the Lord. You know, sometimes I would put my hand like this. Other times I would kind of turn the other way. You know, it's hard to be a testimony for the Lord, but it's wonderful to be able to confess his name in that way. Because people, you know, and sometimes kids would say, what are you doing? What did you just do? You closed your eyes and you put your head. Well, what a privilege, isn't it? To tell them that you belong to the Lord Jesus. To tell them why you're giving thanks for your food. You know, I work at a lot of different people's houses. And you know what's very common? Is for families not even to have any meals together. And for kids to go to the fridge, put some stuff on their plate, put it in the microwave, sit down at the table, just fork it in, and then go and sit back at the television. That's what they do. But there's no thought of God. And you children need to be so thankful for what you have. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, but to be in a Christian home, oh, what a blessing. What a privilege. And for us parents to have that time with our families, to have meals together, to take that time to read and to pray together. Wonderful privilege. May it be an encouragement. Then verse 12 we'll end on. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This is for everybody in the room and for me especially. This verse is very solemn. Because it does matter how we live. Because someday we have to answer to God for what he's given us and how we've used it. The abilities that we have, how have we used them for him? You know, it's in view of him giving us reward. He wants to give us good things. We read that many times. But God will review our lives to find anything that he can give us credit for in that day. I love to think of that. May it be an encouragement for us to live faithfully for him while we're here. Because someday he's going to review in view of what he can give us, that then we will turn around and honor him with. I love that thought. It tells us in the fourth chapter, I think, of Revelation, that it says they cast their crowns before him. The crowns that the Lord Jesus gives us, those of us who belong to him, we then will have the privilege to give back to him. We want to have something to give him in that day, don't we? May it be that we live for him now so that we will. I'll say, okay, we'll just thank the Lord and thank him for this time. Our God and our loving Father, we would like to thank thee this morning for the Lord Jesus, the one who wore the crown of thorns, the one who suffered, the one who went to the cross, so that we could be saved from our sins. We think of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus that flowed so freely from his side, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And we just pray if there's someone here that has an excuse, who is saying no to thee, Lord Jesus, that they may realize that there's no excuse that will be valid in that day. We just think of this old lady that we've thought about this morning, who hasn't come yet to the Lord Jesus because she wants to have fun. We think, Lord Jesus, of how the enemy of our souls would give us many reasons why we shouldn't get saved. But we know, Lord Jesus, that that wedding feast is going to happen and that thou hast invited us to come. We pray that each person may come to thee. We thank thee for the children, Lord. We thank thee for their desire to be here. We pray to bless them and for the families that are here. And Lord, for each one of us, that we may think of that day when thou wilt give us rewards in view of what we have done for thee, and we give account of how we have lived. Help us, Lord Jesus. In thy precious name we pray. Amen.